The master and the student on the journey to mastery knows that the illusions are illusions, decides why they are there, and then consciously creates what will be experienced next within the self through the illusions. When facing any life experience, there is a formula, a process, through which you too may move toward mastery. Simply make the following statements. 1. Nothing in my world is real. 2. The meaning of everything is the meaning I give it. 3. I am who I say I am, and my experience is what I say it is. This is how to work with the illusions of life. Now we shall take another look at a few real-life examples and revisit some earlier observations. For emphasis brings greater clarity. When faced with the illusion of need, it may seem to you as though your experience is very real. Need will present itself to you in one of two disguises, your need or the need of others. When the need appears to be yours, it will feel much more urgent. Fear could set in quickly, depending on the nature of the need that you are imagining. If you are imagining that you need oxygen, for instance, you may be confronted with immediate panic. This would follow logically from your belief that your life was at stake. Only a true master, or someone who has had a near-death experience and is clear that death does not exist, would be likely to remain calm in such a circumstance. Others would have to train themselves to be. But it is possible to do that. The irony is that it is exactly such calm that would be called for. Only calm would be conducive to the thoughts and actions that could generate a peaceful outcome. Divers understand this. That is why they learn not to panic when they feel they are running out of air, or when their oxygen is cut off. Others, too, have learned how to avoid panic under what many would call very stressful and fearful circumstances. There are other less extreme but also life-threatening situations that could produce fear. News of a terminal illness, for example, or an armed robbery. But there are those who have discovered that they could face a potentially life-ending disease or even the possibility of violence to their person with extraordinary equanimity. How did they do this? What is this about? It all has to do with perspective. And that is what we are talking about here, your perspective. Seeing the illusion of death as an illusion changes everything. Knowing that it has no meaning except the meaning you give it allows you to decide what it means. Understanding that all of life is a process of recreation creates a context within which you may experience who you really are in relationship to death. Jesus did this and astonished the world. Others have done it as well, moving through death with a peaceful grace that astounds and inspires everyone around them. Beneath the level of life-threatening experiences, need has much less power as an illusion. Beneath the level of physical pain, it has virtually no power at all. Many humans, but not all, have a great deal of difficulty with physical pain. If someone were to say, "This is an illusion," during a moment of pain, they might have something different to utter. Indeed, for many, pain and the possibility of it is more fearful than death. Yet this illusion, too, can be dealt with. Earlier in this communication, I spoke of the difference between pain and suffering. Masters know this difference, as do all people who see the illusions of life for what they are. The illusion of need would suggest that humans need to be pain-free in order not to suffer, in order to be happy. Yet pain and happiness are not mutually exclusive, as many women who have given birth can attest. Freedom from pain is not a need, it is a preference. By moving need to the level of preference, you place yourself in a position of extraordinary power over the experience you are having. You can even have power over pain, sufficient power to virtually ignore it, and often to actually make it disappear. Many people have demonstrated this. Dealing with illusions of need that are beneath the level of physical pain is even easier. You may think that you need a particular person to be happy, or a job to be successful, or some other emotional or physical gratification to be content. That is when you may wish to notice that you are here, right now, without it. Why then do you think you need it? Close examination will reveal that you do not need it, not to survive, not even to be happy. Happiness is a decision, not an experience. You can decide to be happy without what you thought you needed in order to be happy, and you will be. That is one of the most important things you could ever come to understand. That is why I'm going to repeat it. Happiness is a decision, not an experience. You can decide to be happy without what you thought you needed in order to be happy, and you will be. Your experience is the result of your decision, not the cause of it. The same is true, incidentally, of love. Love is not a reaction. Love is a decision. When you remember this, you are approaching mastery. The second disguise of need is that of the need of others. If you do not see this illusion as an illusion, you could trap yourself into constantly trying to meet the need of others, especially others you love, your children, spouses, or friends. This can lead to quiet resentment and then boiling anger on the part of both you and the person being helped. The irony is that by continuing to meet the needs of others, including, and perhaps especially, children and life partners, you may do more to disempower them than to help them. Another point that was made earlier. When you see others in need, allow yourself to use the illusion to express the part of yourself that you choose to experience. Perhaps you would choose what you would call compassion or generosity, kindness or your own abundance, or even all of the above. But be clear that you are never doing anything for another. Memorize this statement. Everything I do for myself. That is another of the most important things you could ever come to understand. I will therefore repeat it. Everything I do for myself. That is God's truth, as well as yours. The only difference is that God knows this. There is no interest other than self-interest. That is because the self is all there is. You are one with everything, and there is nothing that is not you. When you are clear about this, your definition of self-interest will change.